Welcome to another episode of the No Ceilings Podcast. I'm Tyler Metcalf, hanging out live at the Combine with Tyler Rucker, Albert Gim. Fellas, we had our first official day of the Combine. Measurements, testing, shooting drills, numbers people love to overreact to. So we're going to dive into some winners, losers, guys who are like, oh, maybe I need to go back and look at why this guy is as explosive as he is. Is it actually showing up in his film? Is it not? If not, why? Guys that we want to revisit, touch on some general measurement takeaways and at large, but big picture takeaways, Albert, just from day one of the official combine. Obviously, we had the elite camp over the weekend, but we're getting to see the big show and in person. And what did you take away just kind of at large from the?
I hate to start off kind of sappy here, but truly, I think when we walked in to the combine, both the G League and the actual NBA draft combine yesterday, the thought just kept running through my head, what a blessing it is to be there.
Yeah.
Like to think about our journey as a collective, as a team, as a company, to now finally be here doing this is such a blessing. But in terms of what we actually saw, like there were some really surprising things in terms of some of the athletic testing, some of the shooting stuff. And I know we're going to cover a lot of that right now, but it was quite the experience to be there, to see all the guys. I think even like physically seeing some of the guys, yeah, just being shocked by either how gigantic they were, or maybe some guys were a little thinner than we thought or whatever, but a lot of good. I'm excited to dive into it.
Well, let's do that. Let's dive right in. Rucker, a lot to take away from yesterday. And again, obviously measurements, testing numbers, shooting drills, they're in a vacuum. They're a data point. We're not skewing our evaluations because of these. Just need to get that out at the beginning of the episode so people don't totally freak out. But who is your biggest winner from yesterday?
I think for me, obviously, I know Metcalf, you're going to want to do this, but Merez Johnson Jr.
Yeah.
was just the biggest like standaway physical. I have to echo what Albert said too, because it has been cool being like, yeah, we get to talk about the combine and the prospects every day. But Merez was one of those, like, when we saw him at the lottery, I was like, that's Merez? Because he just looked, like, really broad. But it wasn't like a, gosh, I hate body shaming. It wasn't like a bulky, fat broad.
It was like lean, strong.
It was a lean machine.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so seeing him then at like, in person yesterday doing the drills, we were like, okay, he's cut up, but also very, like, big-bodied.
Grown man strength.
And, I thought the best thing I saw from him, like, because everyone's going to have seen, like, the numbers where he shot really well and performed. I think he had, like, the 39-inch max vert, which was, like, whoa, for him, that's fantastic. Now, we always know that people can do some tricks with making their vert a little bit better, but I don't
know. How dare you even insinuate? How dare you?
But the biggest thing for me was watching him in the shooting drills. Off the dribble, you know, off the bounce, that drill, a lot of guys that can't, or are on the way developing shooting-wise, can kind of, you could see it in their head that they're really trying to, like, oh, don't mess this up. That star drill is my favorite because it kind of gets these players moving and gets them to stop thinking. And I think Merez looked way better in that, more comfortable because he wasn't thinking about every shot. It was just shoot it. So I thought it was a fantastic day for him. Like, it was probably my favorite out of anyone.
Yeah, and I mean, he measured gigantic. At 250, for him to have the best pro lane drill by a good amount, and he was first at 10.59, second was at 10.71. At 250, to be having that type of gap at the start, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, but then we go back to the film, and you see him slide his feet on the perimeter, pick up point guards, and defend like that, and switch everything. It's like, that tracks. That adds up to what we're seeing on the film. And then to go back to your shooting stuff, because I thought that was really encouraging, because his first drill, it was like the one dribble, a little mid-range pull up, going left, going right, and he couldn't make anything. I think he was one of the worst performers in that drill, and you could see him starting to get frustrated, and it, like, after every miss, he's like, oh, come on, and he's
getting frustrated. It's just
he'd miss long, he'd miss short, they'd rim out, he just couldn't get one to fall. But then once they put him in the star drill, and even just like the one after that, where it's just like, go tag middle, relocate to the wing, tag middle, relocate to the top of the key. Once he started getting in a rhythm and moving and getting out of his head, and it's just like, hey, catch, shoot. It was so much better. And those drills, he was one of the better performers at. So I was like, man, for a guy who really just started shooting in games this year, I thought it was really, really encouraging, especially once you combine it with the testing numbers, the agility, the explosiveness, and just the raw physical measurements.
I think for me, when it comes to Merez, when we watched him shoot yesterday, the thing that you could see is that mechanically, it's pretty sound.
Yeah.
It's a sound-looking jumper. So when he was missing early on, I think all of us could feel and sense that maybe this was the moment more than anything else. Maybe he really just needed to kind of lock in a little bit, get confident, just mentally get right. And then, as to your guys' point, once he hit the star drill, you could see he was ready. You know, he was locked in. He was good to go because the mechanics didn't change, you know, and it looked a lot. He just looked more confident, sure of himself. And I think that's all it took. And he just needed a little adjustment period. So I think the overall takeaway for all of us with Merez, with his shooting, is that because it looks mechanically, and if he's going to just continue to take them and he sees more reps, then we should be very excited about his shooting outlook.
The part where he was like dribbling the off the dribble jumper, I feel like it's like when you're taking your driver's test and you're like, I have to just get past this one part and then I'm clear. Like for me, it was the parallel parking. I was like,
just don't hit the curb. Don't hit the curb
and I'm good. Like I feel comfortable everywhere. So it was like watching his face because we were right behind the basket. So we just got to see these guys like, and you could clearly tell he was like in his head, like, I got to get this part down. Like, and then I'm okay because every single miss was just like, Metcalf was saying. But other than that, he knocked everything out of the park. It was fantastic. So I think it was a big, big day. But like Albert said, the mechanics was what like impressed me the most because I felt great leaving there. Like some team's going to look at him and be like, this one's on the way up quickly. Like we could catch it on the way up with his, you know, trajectory.
Albert, who you got for a winner?
For me, and it's going to be an written piece, but Bennett Sturts from Iowa. I just felt like watching him shoot the ball. Okay, well, before I get to the shooting, his athletic testing was a lot better than I was expecting.
Yeah.
37.5-inch max vert is a very strong number.
Very good.
Very, very good number. I think that speaks to some sleeper athleticism to him that maybe a lot of us were not expecting. So that's point one, a great data point for us to keep in mind. The next thing is with the shooting. When I was watching him shoot from afar, I felt like Doctor Strange trapped in the Dormammu repeat cycle because the ball kept going in the hoop again and again and again. And the ball was going in the same exact way. We're talking all net, no rim, beautiful shots going in again and again. And I think that's something that like coming into the season for Iowa, people were wondering, okay, he's going to high major now. Is the shot going to be where we wanted to be after that 1 year at Drake where the numbers looked great? It was awesome. It was really great. Yeah. And I think him then showing that here in the combine and once again reestablishing for the world to see, I am a lights out shooter, I thought was huge. And it was unbelievable to watch. Like, I'm not kidding when I say the Doctor Strange thing. Like, it just felt like the ball was going in every single shot the same exact way. Super impressive. So for me, if you combine the athletic testing plus the outside shooting, and of course, once again, these are just data points, plus our film breakdown and what we've all seen, I think we all have Sturts pretty high on our boards. I think he's a really slept on, underrated prospect in this class because there are some predisposed notions that people have about him as this small, unathletic, no burst type of guard. Meanwhile, when you turn the film on, he was everything for Iowa last year. And that's not easy to do. And he overcame some adversity. Wow. I caught myself.
That's going to be the running
versatility.
I've been around some, okay. Yeah. So
it's a deep behind the story. It's not just Albert. We understand what happened.
But he's overcome a lot of adversity. And I think on the other side of it, with his unorthodox journey as well, I think he's going to be flying up some draft boards, I think, is my hot take, but we shall see.
Yeah, it was, I feel like with Sturts, I had kind of a low bar, and he I thought it was a fantastic day for him. Like, it's hard to explain, but, like, I thought he was a pretty good athlete from the film.
Like, I was, yeah, because like, you kind of, like, see him, like, keep getting to, like, the lane lobs and get into the rim,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
A lot. And it's like, how are you getting there? Like, you're not, you don't feel like this overly explosive guy, but then you see the raw test and it's like, oh, you kind of are.
He, like, it's hard to explain, but like, I'm with Albert. Watching him shoot, there's something when you watch a guy that can shoot, and then there's something when you watch a guy that's just like, oh my gosh, this is like, you know, walking for you. It was just unbelievable how like effortless it was. I think you even, Albert, mentioned to me today, like, everyone, or maybe it was Metcalf, I don't know, maybe it was both of you, it's probably both of you, you guys are smart, but like, a lot of those guys shooting were just huffing and puffing, and Sturts looked like he did, like, just gotten out of bed.
It was after, like, they did the star drill and then the relocation one. It was, everyone is, like, sweating in some form or fashion, a couple guys are, like, breathing really heavily, and Sturts looks completely dry, and it's just, like, walking around, like, normal, dapping everyone up. It's like, oh, yeah, because you played 500 minutes per game.
Yeah. I thought he measured good too. Like 6'2.5" barefoot is a good number for Sturt. 6'6" wingspan, 186. Those are all fine. So it was one of those where I came into this like, Sturt just needs to be solid with like the boring stuff, if you want to put it that way. And seeing him shoot and everything, like, I still think there's teams that are going to be intrigued. I think we're going to be talking about him late. Probably right outside the lottery is where the conversation will get really serious with him. But I thought he was a boring but good day. Like, it was like, oh, Sturts didn't stand out in a bad way. He just kind of looks solid all around.
It's just a really good reminder of who he is.
Right.
Because, like, down the stretch of the season, he had some really cold shooting games. And it's like, oh, man, like, how real is the shooting? I wasn't thinking that. But you see that in certain spaces. And it's like, well, okay, let's provide the context. The guy's playing 40 minutes a night. He's running everything on the offensive end. They play so slow that he has to dictate the offense for 30 seconds every single possession. It's really tough, especially now add on the fact that he's not surrounded by a bunch of NBA-level shooters. So defenders are loading up on him. They're blitzing him. They're playing really aggressive gap coverage. And he's still getting to the rim a good amount. He's still knocking down threes, but that wear and tear is a lot. And you see him in this setting, you see the testing numbers, which are really encouraging. You see the shot where it's like, oh man, like, when you're not having to dictate everything for an entire season, you're money just every single time. So I think this was a really good refresher to be like, yeah, is he going to be a superstar all NBA level point guard? Probably not, but he doesn't need to be, because when he's a complimentary piece, either as a low end starter or elite level backup, like, and surrounded by NBA level shooters and spacers and potentially other guys who can create literally anything off the bounce, this guy's someone who can absolutely torch defenders, whether it's spotting up or playing attacking space with NBA spacing around him.
The last thing that I want to say, and I think, Mecca, this point that you're making is a point that you've been making since like the beginning of the season. I think I saw like a breakout clip of your pod when you talked about this, because Corey and I, we've been talking about on our pod as well. Bennett Sturts is going to benefit heavily by the NBA game. More space, better teammates, less. He was an over 30 usage guy, right? So he's going to have way less responsibility and stuff. And the great thing about that is that with less usage and him playing as more of a connecting role, whatever, he's going to be able to show a little bit more of his IQ, which is his superpower. You know, like, he's going to be able to show even more of his passing ability as a connector guy, as a guy taking wide open jumpers next season or whatever in the future. I just feel like the NBA game is going to suit him so well, and he's going to look way better. And so he's one of these guys where it's like, whatever you thought about him in college, please take that as just a data point. Wait till you see him in the league. He's going to benefit from it.
Absolutely. My last winner, because Rucker stole mine. I'm going Zubi Adjofor. The measurements I thought were really solid, especially with the wingspan, correct?
Yeah.
It was like really good spot for that. I know he didn't measure like the tallest, but the length I thought was really good. And I thought his explosiveness numbers were way more encouraging than I was anticipating. And then he was another one of these guys who was shooting right in front of us. And the pull-up stuff was a little inconsistent. The relocation stuff was a little inconsistent, but the spot up looked really pretty. And when he was kind of able to approach the shot with his shoulders already square and he was already set, it's like, oh, okay, I think I buy that type of shot for him a little more. And then the athletic numbers, it's like, okay, I think there's a little more juice here. So I think among us, I've been kind of the low man on Zubi. not to like an extreme number, but a little hesitant because I'm like, I don't know how this translates to the league because I always miss on this archetype. But seeing him in person, seeing the frame, seeing the athletic numbers, and then the consistency with the shooting in a really just like simplified role, it's like, oh, okay, there's some real stuff here.
Zuby's been one of my guys I just got caught up on at the end of the year, and I just absolutely love them. This might be weird, Metcalf, but I might be able to help you here. It was funny they were paired yesterday because I was like, well, this is easily my favorite yes. pairing because I was like, all right, Merez and Zuby. I feel like Zuby's a smaller version of Merez.
Yeah.
That's like more of the tweener, quicker on the perimeter, and Merez is more of the like going towards that like, hey, 4-5 combo where I feel like Zuby's more of like the four that needs to be like the perimeter four, like, you know. So yeah, yesterday the shot is, it's like a little slow, but it's also like, well, he's going to be only shooting this if he's wide open, and he's, but every time it's set, it's square, the ball comes off good. It's just, it's great. But he was 6'7.5" barefoot, so probably flirting with 6'9"-ish, 7'2" wingspan.
That wingspan I thought was really encouraging.
So 8'11" standing reach, 245. Like, I think Zuby just looked great yesterday. Another guy that was really solid across the board. Like, I think he was the quiet winner that everyone's gonna be like, Merez. And I was like, Zuby looked really, really good if you were here.
The thing that's so encouraging about Zuby is he athletically, the lane agility thing, he was like right behind Merez. You know, so that really speaks to what we're talking about with Ejiofor and Merez being similar in their lateral mobility. It's insane.
11.05.
Wow. And when you watch Zuby, so this is where you get the marriage of the film and the testing. Zuby is an insanely coordinated and fluid lateral mover. And that makes him so dangerous as a defender in the NBA. If he's guarding ball screens, you can have him meet at the level. He can hard hedge, slide his feet, make life really difficult. And if it's a team, let's say, imagine he's playing like the Detroit Pistons. They've got one alpha creator in K, right? He's trying to run ball screens and you have Zuby up there meeting at the level. That's a nightmare for Kate. He has to get off the ball, right? So that makes him such an exciting defensive prospect. But to your point, what you guys are talking about with the shooting yesterday, Zuby as this kind of screener, roller, short roll creator, but then also now pick and pop threat with his standstill shooting ability. Yeah. Dear goodness, we're talking about a guy who can be a guy who really contributes in a playoff series is what we're talking about because of his offensive and defensive versatility at that size at 6'9 with a plus wingspan. I just don't understand how you can't have a guy in the conversation within the top 20 is my point, is where I'm at right now. Because last night, Metcalf, we were talking about different guys and you're like, he's going to play in this game as we were watching yeah. the Laker Thunder series. And I look at Ejiofor and I'm like, a guy who can give you this much on both ends of the floor with his size and plus wingspan, you have to be enticed by it. So for me with Ejiofor, it's the athleticism, the fluidity, the strength, power, mentality, but then the versatility is so important to all that.
And I think his offensive game, the more you just kind of hone in on him, especially in person, it feels like he has, like, I know at St. John's he had like a really high usage. He's not going to have that in the NBA, but I do think like the more nuance you recognize in this game, it's like, this is an offensive role that can scale down really effectively while still making an impact and not losing what his superpower is.
And just really quickly, like the post-ups that Ejiofor was getting, like a lot of those are going to just fly away.
Gone. Bye.
Gone. Right. So to your point, the usage will come down, but then you're going to get more NBA level type of stuff with him where, once again, in the short roll, he can come down, he'll create for himself, whatever. And he's another really good grab-and-go guy off of defensive rebounds. So, love that.
Really good glue guy, too, on offense. I feel like he's a good screener. He's willing to do the dirty work. He's kind of like that junkyard dog. You know, he's just perfect. But I thought yesterday, too, like one of the loudest things for Zuby was like he looked great in every drill. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, we're a guy we're probably going to talk about in a little bit. Cole Pete was the, hey, at least with the vert, Cole Pete was fantastic. No step vertical jump for Cole Pete. He was 34.5. Zuby, 34. Like, and then Zuby's max vert was 38. Like, those are great numbers. So, you yeah. know, it's kind of like, you know, when you're on the golf course, you just keep parring. And then all of a sudden, you I threw a couple birdies in. I'm a couple under par. Like, it felt like Zuby just stayed and then had some really good sessions. You kept seeing him, like, a little lower on the shooting drills, but it wasn't like, oh, bottom of the list. It was like, oh, he's right there with Milan Manchilovic. You're like, okay, like he just kind of was lingering in all of the categories, and then some categories tested well. So it was a great day for him, and I think it's one of those guys I think we keep sleeping on a little bit, all of us. And I understand why, because he's that tweener role, but I think he's just a good basketball player and checks a lot of boxes.
He absolutely does. Unfortunately, there are some guys who did not help themselves. Now, again, data points, folks. We are not totally skewing our evaluations, but when we have some concerns or red flags that potentially pop up in the film, and then we get a number to immediately quantify that, it's tough to ignore it. So a couple guys, we're going to run through some guys who kind of damaged or potentially damaged their draft stock with some really underwhelming testing numbers. I'll rip the Band-Aid off. I'll be the bad guy to start. Allen Graves did not have a good day. And I thought his athletic testing numbers were really, really underwhelming, whether it's the lateral agility stuff or the explosiveness stuff. He was towards the bottom of the list, and basically all of them, the shooting outside of just the spot-up stuff, like we know he's a good spot-up shooter. We saw that all year. He was good in that drill. Any of the ones that required movement or pull-up stuff, he was towards the bottom again, and it was a real bummer because I thought he had an incredible opportunity to be like, oh no, he looks like he could be a real lock for the first round, and I know a lot of people have him really high. I've been hesitant to buy in all year, and the fact that we have these really underwhelming testing numbers, and you just watching him move laterally, it's like, oh man, this is in a different class to like the guys like Merez and Zuby, and even like Bryce Hopkins from the elite camp. It was a tough day for Graves.
Really tough day. I've been lower on Graves. I thought the athletic testing was going to be really brutal for him because it just showed a little bit on tape where I was like, this isn't your game. Now, he's very skilled. He could shoot it. He's got some good vision. Like, there is a lot of boxes he could check. I know he's an analytics darling with, you know, especially the defensive stocks numbers and everything. But I felt like the shooting numbers, I thought were going to, like, kind of carry him or pick him back up, and they just weren't there consistently enough when it came to, like, I thought he needed to each category kind of separate himself to be like, hey, I'm not the athlete, but I can shoot it. Kind of what Caravan did yesterday. I thought Graves needed to have that sort of day where it was like, I know I'm not a great athlete, but look what I can do shooting wise. It wasn't terrible. It just wasn't like good enough to be
and
like
the lane agility and like, yeah, the shot, like that's the lateral stuff was really bad.
He was
I think he was like second or third last in the lane agility. The fact that his max vert was only 34, I thought it was going to be higher than that. I know it's only, you know, it's like, oh, what's the difference? Is there really that big of a difference between 37 and 34? It's like, at his size, not really. But, man, it's still tough. Like, when you're falling behind guys like Bruce Thornton and Matt Abel, it's tough.
I'm not trying to give a drive-by to Joshua Jefferson here, but I think we all expected Joshua Jefferson not to be a good athlete, and he was pretty much neck and neck with Joshua Jefferson in every drill. So that was like, that's kind of telling. So, when your no-step vert is half an inch lower than Alex Caravan, we've got a discussion to have. So, I think a lot of us were expecting him to be a guy that's here to get a feel for the NBA draft combine process, because we're expecting him to go back after yesterday. I was like, I think we're going to see you at college next year.
I think the way that I'm processing Graves' performance yesterday, it's like, I don't think any of us expected him to be great at any of this. Like, right, we were...
I was hopeful that the shooting stuff would be a little better.
Okay, the shooting, yes. I meant the athletic testing.
Albert's right.
Just like the pure spot-up drill.
Sure.
I think he was, like, top three. So, right. I expected that.
Yeah.
I was hoping that we would have seen a little more growth, like, in the one dribble pull-up. I think he was last. And he made, like, four or five the entire drill. And it's, like, for a guy who took two pull-up jumpers all season, one of them was a full-court heave, the other was in transition in the tournament. Yeah. It's, like, that I expected to be take a much bigger step forward, and the fact that it was woeful,
yeah,
I thought was really, really disappointing.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I just meant like the athletic testing. I think that was where, I mean, it's not really his cup of tea. And the thing with him is, even if he goes back for another year, next year at this same event, I don't think he's going to test that much better. Like it's one of these things where it's like, I think he is kind of what he is as an athlete.
Yeah.
I'm not asking Floyd Mayweather to make me an egg sandwich type of situation. Like it kind of is what it is. But there's a lot of good to Graves' game in terms of skill set and whatever. So once again, for all of our viewers out there, like we're just, this is a data point. We're understanding him better as a holistic athlete, and the athleticism just probably won't ever be his cup of tea. But there are other things, ancillary things that he brings to the floor that kind of, you know, make the eval better. But yeah, I totally get what you're saying. I'm with you.
I had like Derek Queen expectations for the athletic testing. I just was like, this isn't going to be it. If he went up there and had a 38 inch vert, I'd be like, the machine's broken. Like, go back and fix it. Like, no, but
I expected the max vert to be a little higher. Maybe this is weird that I was a little more optimistic than you guys. But like, because like when you watch him in his games, like the lateral stuff, it was never good. So like that doesn't shock me. But like when he was the low man weak side rim protector, there's some really good stuff there. And maybe it's just a testament to his timing and his hand-eye coordination and stuff. Maybe, you know, obviously the film beats whatever raw numbers are. But and it's kind of like Kingston and his shorter wingspan, where it's like, man, this dude gets deflections all the time. He must have pterodactyl arms. Nope. And with Graves, I was like, oh, he might have like a little bounce like once he actually gets going. And I guess not. So it just kind of surprised me in that realm.
The measurements aren't everything. Like I think it's with Graves, like he is an unbelievable anticipation and timing defensive player.
And that stuff does not show up in this.
No, it does not. And that's why the numbers can tell you or could fool with you right now. Yes. You're like, wow. And then it's like, no, I watch Graves defensively and I'm like, his timing to get the ball coming up as a you know, shot blocker is awesome. It's fantastic. It's one of my favorite parts of his game, but like that's why when you're watching him, I'm like, hey, there's no way he's going to test one of the best here. Like, he was going to probably struggle, but I'm with you. The shooting was the one that shocked me. Like, he was dead last shooting off the dribble. He was 12 of 30, 26.
Not great, Bob.
40%. That was lower than Chris Sinak and Kobe Pete. So,
Do we need to transition to Kobe?
We need to translate. Yeah.
I'm ready for the Kobe discussion just because.
Let's get it.
I've been brutally crucified. No, but the truth is,
now you will be.
Man, I've had Koa Pete at 10 on my big board, and that's not a popular choice that I've made. But for me, it's always been like I'm just a believer in the player. I feel like throughout the season, he made adjustments to help really get his teammates going. So there's a lot that I like about him, but no one could have warned me on what we saw yesterday with his shooting. Like, I was not expecting that new shooting motion at all. And what I do want to say is this, though. I understand that this is just one step in his development in terms of him revamping his shot. It's just truly unfortunate that he's at this level of that revamping at the NBA Draft Combine. And it was downright horrifying to watch at times. Yeah, go ahead.
So it's really tough because if you're going to totally overhaul your shot, you know, the thought process is like, just rip the Band-Aid off. Like, let's get to it. Who cares? Like, we're not going to shoot it well anyways. Let's just start this process immediately. I get that. My bigger concern is the mechanics that they settled on. Because it kind of looks like Brandon Clark before Gonzaga. It's rough. And, you know, when a guy's totally overhauling a shot, it's to be expected. But the way he's loading up, like, at his chin and coming up, like, low, and the ball is spinning all sorts of directions. It's being released in the middle of his face. Like, I don't know why this was the overhaul that was landed on. And, like, the way that he shot in the mid-range, like, I thought he had, like, a nice kind of high release point, like, combined with the way he elevated on it, and like, okay, a couple tweaks here and there, you know, you do some repositioning of the hands, you know, get the upper body mechanics a little more consistent, tuck the elbow, that kind of stuff. But now, like, where his bread and butter was in the middle of the floor, he's never going to be able to get that shot off. If he's releasing from his chin, he's never going to be able to get that shot off.
Yeah. I don't want to undersell for our viewers out there how much, like, there is a stark contrast in terms of how it looks from this season till now. I thought, I wrote this in our written piece, I thought I was on an episode of MTV's Punk'd. Like, I could not believe how different the shot looked from what it usually did or it used to look like. So, to Metcalf's point, where they are right now is shocking. And I'm going to be of the belief, I'm holding out hope, fingers crossed, that this is just one ugly step on a beautiful journey. And
I really hope so.
Yeah, I really, really hope so, because I still love the player. I still love the bloodlines, the strength and power, the force that he plays with, the fact that he's an unselfish team guy in terms of like his energy and ethos. Also, we've heard a lot of smoke about him potentially going back as well, right? Mm-hmm. So then you start to wonder, like, okay, is this part of that? Like, I don't know for sure, but I was severely discouraged yesterday after watching that. I cannot lie. And we shall see.
Yeah, it was the shot reconstruction, like, angered me yesterday. Because, like, look, I know he wasn't a shooter, but it wasn't so bad and ugly that I was like, you've got to do this now. I was like, why don't you just really try to grind on it a little bit in the pre-draft, get it feeling good for your shot, go to the combine, see what you got. If you don't shoot well, start reconstructing it right away, like when you're like, all right, I'm going back. But like, it rarely happens where I watch a guy's shot that's completely overhauled and I get so angry I have to like go watch him shoot threes. And Kopi didn't shoot a lot of threes last year, but I was like, I need to watch the form, because I turned to you guys and I was like, I know I've watched more Arizona probably than all these guys. And I'm like, am I crazy? Like, he completely changed the shot, right? Because it was so weird. It was like, what in the world? I didn't know if he was trying to showcase like his process that he's reconstructed. I can't explain it, but it was wild to see in person, and I don't feel like he needed to really do it that aggressively. If that makes sense.
Yeah, and it almost concerns me more of like what he's focused on and what he thinks he has to improve to get to the NBA, because And it's like, are they like, if he's not an awesome spot up shooter, he's never going to make it. And if that's the thought process, I'm like, oh, I think you guys took the wrong lessons from this season. Like, I would have loved for, and you know, they can easily be doing this as well, because the defense and passing and stuff doesn't show up in these drills. It has nothing to do with these drills. But like, my biggest thing with Koa was like, I want you to focus in on being an elite defender every single possession. I want you to harness your playmaking capabilities way more consistently. And one of the ways that he does that is getting to the middle of the floor, having that threat of that mid-range jumper with that high release point, and that's gone now. So if they're trying to totally overhaul his shooting mechanics to be a competent spot-up shooter, and that takes away what he can do in the mid-range, it's like you're totally neutering everything else about this dude's offense, because of how easy that shot is going to be to defend. And just high hand takes it away. And in a crowd, in the mid-range, it's just not going to be useful. So if that's their focus is, hey, we got to make you a good spot-up shooter, and this is the mechanics to do that, I just think it's the wrong focus. I just came away really concerned about it.
Yeah, I mean, seeing him a couple times in person this year, I didn't feel like the shot was broken. I felt like it was clearly a guy that never had to shoot the three. So I was like, I don't know if this is a break it down. I think this is a you need reps and probably like a smart shooting coach, a little tinkering.
Just tweaks.
Yeah, tweaks. Someone to get your mind going, which I was like, this could happen in the offseason. But right now when I'm sitting here watching three-point attempts while we're doing this, because I'm like, was I crazy? But like yesterday was like a way close to the chest, I feel like.
He loaded it up at his chin.
And like he was the load up shooter where you're like, okay, he needs a trying to think of like an NBA guy that was like that.
And it's just not going to be a feasible release off the bounce.
Yeah, right. So but that's fine. But I'm like you, there was more areas to gain proving here probably with the athleticism and everything than just the shot. So like it feels like it's a it's a pre-draft process that was focused on one, like all in on one area. And it was like, I don't know about that. So it was a bummer yesterday because I thought, you know, we got there and we started seeing like, hey, Koa shined out right away in the athleticism. We're like, all right, here we go. Like, I'm intrigued.
Athletic testing was good.
And to back up Albert, like, he's been a guy I've wanted to have higher. Because I see why he could be really valuable. And, like, in person, seeing his frame with the power is really impressive. Like, he's going to be grown man strength at the NBA level early, which is really hard to do.
Yeah.
As a young player, like, as a teenager at the NBA level. Like, that's how his frame is. But it was tough yesterday. Like, watching him shoot, I'm like, Tucson might be lovely for one more year. Mr. Arizona might be going back. Now, we're just speculating, but yeah.
Rucker, who else concerned you or had a tough day?
I don't know if it was necessarily bad for me, but I feel like it was the roller coaster with Zabuko Corey, where I started really hot and was like, oh, measured well, did good, like, here we go. And then this is where shooting drills get a little scary because But Corey, I feel like, is a way better game shooter. And yesterday, watching him shoot by himself, I was like, it doesn't look as smooth as I wanted it to be. But then I was like, could someone go out and just make him, like, go full speed and play in transition? Because yeah. Then I feel like I get more excited. I don't know. I don't think he had a bad day. It just, there was a lot of, promise when his measurements leaked. And I was like, we could really get cooking with a solid day at the combine. And then I was like, you know what I'm trying to say? It's hard to explain.
No, I think we wanted him. We like the player a lot.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
in our post lottery mock, we gave him at what, 14 to the Heat or 13?
We were expecting him to have a big week.
I think we were like kind of all hoping that he would just light the Nets on fire type of situation, which he didn't. But that also he didn't. You know,
he's not playing. Correct.
He's not playing in the scrimmage.
Right.
He's not. Okay. Oh,
that's a bummer.
Well, yeah, that is a bummer.
After yesterday,
that may need
like,
to get revisited.
Hey, is there some spots on the roster?
Yeah.
I might want to, you know, dance a little bit. Go ahead.
But no, I think Rucker, your point's important. I do think he's a game shooter. I think he's more of a shot maker than a pure like absolute elite shooter type of prospect. And there's so much he does with the ball in his hands and his ability to get downhill, and to be like a small finisher at the rim that we like, right? So there was that hope where it's like, dang, if he can light the Nets on fire, we could talk about him in a really dangerous type of range, but it was okay. I think it was just okay. It wasn't an L for him at all. So I still like the player a lot.
Yeah, and I just the some of the shooting drills he just struggled with. He almost looked uncomfortable with the shot. Like he was just overthinking it. It looked really mechanical and like set. Like
he's a little bit of aiming.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Perfect way to put it. Whereas he was aiming the ball, and then you know that shows up in the 3-point star drill where I think he was seventh worst. In the side mid side drill, he was fourth worst, and you know a couple of those are behind guys like Koa Pete, who we just talked about. So it was unfortunate. I thought the measurements and testing were fine, but I think he's another one of these guys where it's like you guys mentioned, his superpower comes in live action. It comes when the defense is on their heels, and his ability to single-handedly put defenders on their heels to attack rotating defenses and utilize that speed, which in stagnant shooting drills, not a thing. So I'm not sure that any of us expected him to come in and be Steph Curry out here, but I was hoping that the shot mechanics would just look a little more fluid, a little more natural. And it just felt a little robotic to me.
And I need to, like, people might look at the numbers and stuff because, like, he tested well in some shooting stuff. Like, he was right behind Sturts in, I believe, spot-up shooting and one more I'll get. But, like, it was off-the-bounce stuff. The mechanics looked a little funky.
Off the dribble, he was third.
Yeah, so he did really well off of that. But, like, I think the one stuff that was shocking me most was, like, the movement testing. He was so low. Like the 3-quarter sprint, like I was like, oh, I thought he would be. It was like, wow, you're really low there. Now I know that you know 0.2 off, you could drop down that because everyone's so close. But it just seemed like he would. I was like, oh, Corey's doing. Oh, like you know when you're like top low, top. I was like, wow, okay, like inconsistent, but maybe I'm talking myself out of it now. You know what I'm trying? It's just one of those weird days where I was like, I thought he was so close to just kicking the whole combine out of the water.
Pro lane, he was second at 10.71.
Yeah.
Miles behind Merez, but you know that. You know, who can compete with Merez? Like,
you know? No, but so, I mean, where was he? Shuttle run. Shuttle run, he was 20th.
Bizarre. It makes no sense.
So that's what I'm just saying. Like, it was a weird, almost, he like did great and then would like kind of balance out, make it more of a headache that he was low on some other ones. So that's where I'm at.
All right. Well, we have some guys who won the day, some who struggled. But was there anyone who you saw that you made you go, oh, I need to dive back in, like either in a good or bad way, that you want to just, you're really excited to go revisit their film after this?
Isaiah Nelson from, USF was running, or he is a USF or UAB? Yeah, USF. I think they're the same. Definitely USF, not. But.
Very different.
Same colors. No, I'm kidding. I'm sorry. I just wanted to double check there. But Isaiah Nelson was one that I kind of just saw in person. I was like, okay, this might be a fun sleeper I need to get an eye on. I know the athletic numbers and the testing and everything and like his play this year, but I wanted to watch a little bit closer from seeing the mechanics in person and everything. I was like, okay, this might be a fun sleeper. Albert, got anything?
No, just to piggyback off of your point about Nelson, watching him shoot, I was like, whoa.
It looked way better.
He shoots a pretty ball. Like, I was really shocked by that. I was not expecting that at all. So I was like, oh, I'm with you. I was like, oh, yeah. I need to go back and see more. My guy was Dalen Swain. Now, I want to be clear about Swain. I really like the player. I really do. There, you cannot deny the incredible season that he just had for Texas. So I don't want to have this sound like, oh, I'm reconsidering like where he's at, blah, blah, blah. I just wanted to go back and watch his shooting because when I did his film deep dive, I think this was about a month ago for one of our pods, I was like, off the catch, it's ugly. Mm-hmm. Off the dribble, looks okay, was kind of where my head was at. But then watching him yesterday, I was like, both look ugly to me, both off the catch and off the dribble. I was like, this does not look right to me, was kind of where I landed. So I was like, oh, let me go back. But once again, it doesn't really hard skew how I feel about the player because look, his ability to get downhill is nasty, right? He's got real athletic ability. Defensively in the NBA, with a more supplementary, supporting role, his defense is just going to go up another level. So that's exciting. So I think you know the type of player that you're getting. But then at the same time, for the people out there who see this high, high ceiling for him, that's all hinging on his shooting.
Oh,
if Swain can't shoot it from outside, off the catch, off movement, off dribble, then we're talking about a different player in terms of his ceiling, and that's really important. We could be talking about him either being like a borderline all-star, two guard, three, whatever, to being a backup, straight up. Like, there is a big gulf between those two outcomes, and all of it, for me, hinges on his shooting. So watching him shoot yesterday, I was like, let me go back. I know I did a tweet, and I was like, I kind of left it ambiguous. I was like, what do you guys see on my tweet? Because I wanted to get everyone's opinions on it. For me, I was shocked, and I want to see how this goes, what the trajectory looks like. But from the film watch to it in person yesterday, I was a little discouraged.
We could stay with Swain for a little bit if you want. Okay. Yeah, what do you think about Swain?
I'm curious, what did you see in the shot specifically that you...
There was a hard hitch in there.
Yeah,
that
like
I was
every time.
Every single time. And also, more importantly, even beyond the hitch, if there is the same exact hitch every time, you'd be like, okay, you can identify as to fix that. There is a hitch, plus his motion was not repeating itself. It looked like every shot, every rep he was taking, there was something slightly different with every single rep. And I was like, this is a problem. He's just like put blindfolded, grabbing something out of a hat every single time he takes a jumper. That's a big problem. And the fact that his mechanics are that inconsistent and not repeatable is scary to me. But the other side of that coin is because it's so inconsistent, maybe it's like, once he settles on something, maybe it's going to look better is kind of where I'm at, too. So I don't know.
You're spot on. I mean, it's also something that you've seen throughout the year on tape. Like he's got two different processes, off the dribble and shooting. I feel better about the shot the catch and shoot pitch because it's less aggressive. The off the dribble is where I get really nervous because it is a long loading hitch where it's like it's a long process to load up off the dribble. It adds like a full second, and then he has the hitch to go with it. So that's where I'm like, hey, I could kind of deal. Like, he looks much more comfortable catch and shoot. Obviously, you could say that about a lot of guys, but when you have a hitch, you're trying to like save any fluidity. Yesterday, I thought it was really like, wow. It looks more aggressive than on tape. Now, you could say like that's even more impressive than the year he had and the sure. growth he took as a shooter. But I think when you're going to the next level, things get sped up so fast, you need to save as much time as you can. I still feel like the Xavier Dillon Swain and the Texas one need to meet in the middle.
Yeah.
To make the best player he would be. Because there's a lot of people who have been like, hey, he's star upside. Okay. I still think he could be like a fantastic 3D type of asset. Like, I know we're talking about the shot and I'm saying 3D, but like, I feel like the Trevor Ariza path could really be exciting for Swain. Because the shot is going to get to a point where it's like, we can't ignore the shot. And it's been a problem since Xavier, since he was there. Because scouts loved him there, but they were like, the shot.